The Imam of the introduction, we have explained that this dua is a very important dua, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to recite this dua with understanding and actual connection with Him in the month of Ramadan and at the time of Sahur, inshaAllah. After the first request that the Imam made, he directs his attention towards the blessings of God, and therefore he begins the praise of Allah. Alhamdulillahi ladhi begins. And the last two passages of that, one of them is what I will read from yesterday. Walhamdulillahi ladhi tahabbada ilayya wa ghaniyun anni. I explained this yesterday as him wanting Allah. Apparently that's not correct. What it is Alhamdulillah that he tahabbada. That means praise to God that shows his love to me, whereas he doesn't need me. We explained, inshallah, we have that understanding. But we can't benefit God, he doesn't need us. But he is showing love. Okay? He is showing, displaying love towards me. The example that I mentioned is still there. We would want to have someone like Ayatollah Bahjat, okay, that we kind of like, we like him, we want to be around him, but if he likes us, that's something way beyond. It says, because you know, he doesn't need anything from us, he already has his ways, he already has his spirituality, he'll probably be wasting his time if he's sticking around Ayatollah Bahjat. Like, what are you doing? But if he said to me, shows love, come close to me, what's your name? This is displaying love, okay, in a human fashion, to people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all-powerful, everything is his, even my existence is his. And he doesn't require me or anything. He doesn't get any benefit from me by loving me, but still he shows love. والحمد لله الذي يحرم عني حتى كأني لا ذنب لي. All praise is to the God that He is tolerating me in a way that is as though I have not committed a single sin. Every sin, remember we talked about the sins have got an effect. But he's not letting me have that effect right now. He's not letting me have the punishment. And he's opened the door. He says, just regret what you've done and I'll forgive you. Just regret it. Feel bad and feel guilty, I'll forgive you. Whereas I deserved it. I deserved to be punished in that very severe way on the day of judgment, right when I did the action. I deserved that. But God didn't give it to me. He's waiting and hoping that we repent. So he's tolerating us as though we have not committed a single sin. He lets us talk to him. If he wanted to, we wouldn't be able to talk to him. After all of these, the Imam starts to change the word. He says, فَرَبِّي أَحْمَدُ شَيْءٍ عِنْدِي وَأَحَقُّ بِحَمْدًا. Then therefore, based on what I've mentioned, my Lord is the most praised with me and most deserving of my praise. This was the introduction, I think, of the dua. I can call it that. The next passage, the Imam says, Allahumma inni ajidu subula li mataribi ilayka mushra'at. Oh Allah, I have found the paths of requesting you. They're all paved. They're all, in other words, there's paths of requesting and receiving. In other words, the door or the path to you is always paved, it's always open. Everyone can always come. وَمَنَا إِلَى الرَّجَاءٍ إِلَيْكَ مُتَرَعَاتٍ. There's always reasons, paraphrasing, there's always reasons for people to be hopeful. There's always hope. In dealing with Allah, there's never, ever a case where a person loses hope. He gets upset at those who lose hope in him. There's an interesting story about, I think it's the time of Imam al-Kadhim, one of the ruler of the part of Khorasan, was eating and drinking and committing sins during the day of the month of Ramadan publicly. One of the companions of the Imam was there, and so he said, "What are you doing? It's Ramadan." He said, "Well, God's not going to forgive me anyway, so who cares? Just continue." He said, "Why? What have you done that you think that?" He said, "Well, before I came to this position, I was taking care of a prison. I was responsible for a prison guard in one of the dungeons of Khalifa in this region. And one day he came, there was a bunch of Sadat, the children of Hadrat Fatimah, religious, and they believed in the path that we had in prison. So he came and he said, open this door. A couple of people came up. He said, chop off their heads. They did that. Second door, they did. Third door, every one of them. He said, each of them was so good, you could see light in their face. Okay. And I killed all of these people. Just imagine on this scene. He says, so after that, I am absolutely sure God is not going to forgive me. So, who cares? The companion of the Imam goes to the Imam and tells him the circumstance. The Imam tells him, yes, God is not going to forgive him, but not because of that sin, because he has lost hope in God. وَمَنَا إِلَى الرَّجَاءِ إِلَيْكَ مُتَعَاتٍ وَالْإِسْتَعَانَةَ بِفَضْلِكَ لِمَنْ أَمَّلَكَ مُبَاحًا. Seeking help from your mercy, blessing your father, for a person who wishes for that, dreams of that, that's their dream, this seeking blessing and help is mubah, is allowed. وَأَبْوَابَ الدُّعَاءِ إِلَيْكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. The doors of dua for those who plead to you, weep to you, and cry to you are always open. This concept of actual dua, brothers and sisters, reciting the dua, not as quick, just read it through, it takes dua command 10-15 minutes. Actual realization that we are addressing God. This is something I think a lot of times, unless He, God, has mercy on us and He puts us in difficult circumstances where we feel hopeless of everybody else, and that's when we actually address Him from the bottom of our hearts, we don't ourselves engage in that unless in such hardship. Okay. That's what we need. We should feel. It's kind of childish that when we're put in physical hardship, we feel we need His help. But when it's the spiritual difficulties that we have, the spiritual problems that we have, being away from that absolute mercy and absolute perfection, that all the beauties, just picture this, all the beauties that you enjoy in this life are a manifestation of divine beauty. Manifestation of divine beauty. whatever you like, the best thing you can picture, that's a limited, a very, very, very limited form and manifestation of divine beauty. Allahumma inni mas'aluka bi jamalika, if I got the words right, bi ajmalihi. Allahumma inna jamalika kullihi ajmal, or something along those lines. The dua of Sahar in the month of Ramadan, I ask you by your beauty, by the most beautiful form, and actually all of your beauty is the most beautiful form. It's absolute beauty. Anything you like, the most beautiful picture, the most beautiful feeling, okay, the most pleasant texture you like to touch on, all these are very, very, very limited forms. The company of whoever you enjoy because of them being good, that is a limited, very, very, very limited manifestation of the mercy, of the beauty of God. So we are addressing God. We don't realize that we're so far away from Him because of our own actions. We're pleading to get this little, you know, a car, or a house, or this exam done, or things like that. And we're so far away from the absolute good, the beautiful, what are you trying to achieve? This is very childish to leave that to and get upset at, you know, some worldly thing that we're trying to gain. And when we're in loss, really in loss, we're not pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. It really requires pleading. I need to feel that I am faqir, that the dua is going to get to that part. Right now we're talking about God. Okay. The words are going to come about who I am. Really feeling that I am an abduka da'eed, faqeer, okay, needy, I have nothing of myself, I need your help, and so on and so forth. So, dua, the Imam says, awwal dua ilayka lis-salihin maftuha. Dua, the door of dua is open, especially for those who are as-salihin, pleading, crying. This form of feeling is very important. وأعلم أنك بالراجين لموضع إجابة. And I know that you, for those who hope that their prayers are answered, بموضع إجابة, that you're going to be answering them. وللملهوفين بمرصد إغاثة. For those who are under hardship, you are waiting for some, you're always looking for a chance to help them out. This is the reality. Okay? He's not trying to cause difficulty as difficulty. He's trying to get good out of that when there is difficulty for us. Let me mention something in regards to that. First, at the beginning stages where we're very weak in our spirituality, we always want ease. We can't take hardship. Then, when in hardship, people start liking that, actually a little more. Those who reach a little bit, not too high, but they get involved. They like being on the sand in the heat and nothing being around it. They like that. You want to be somewhere where there's nobody there, it's hot, and it's sand, and I'm sitting on it without any rug or anything, and put my head down in frustration for a while. I like it when I'm saying these people. I like it when he is putting me through hardship. Okay. Because when I'm not, when I'm at ease, it's more difficult to concentrate. Now I'm fully aware that this is God's doing, so I'm going to be patient with it. Okay. And then it reaches a level, this is, I wanted to refer to this thing. You know, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, one of the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then was there at the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Shtaba, Imam al-Hussein, Imam al-Sajjad, and Imam al-Baqir. He was blind towards the end. There's this narration report that either Imam al-Sajjad or Imam al-Baqir, I'm pretty sure it was probably Imam al-Sajjad. He asks him, how are you? Like, what's your status? Not a, like, how is your health? This type of question is like, okay, what do you feel? I'm asking from a religious perspective. Jabir says, I am in a status that I like difficulty more than ease, and poverty more than wealth. I like that. He had done, that was an achievement. The Imam tells him that's not how he is. Still, you need to improve yourself. What we are is that we like poverty and wealth, discomfort or hardship and ease. But when? Whenever God wants it. If He gives me wealth, I enjoy the wealth as it being from God. When I have hardship or poverty, I enjoy that as it being something from God. This is where we're supposed to get. So that I wanted to refer to this, that we are, thinking to myself, way down there, that only when we're, things are going well, when I receive a gift or something, I say, oh, alhamdulillah, that's when I want to remember God. But if it's difficulty, why did God do this to me? I can't even concentrate on God. Does that for us. وأن في اللهف إلى جودك والرضا بقضائك عوضا من منع الفاخرين ومندوحة عما في أيدي المستأثرين. This one, I think we can say, it's teaching a lesson here. He says, seeking refuge to God's jood, giving and generosity, and al-ridha bi-qada'ik, feeling pleased with whatever God will, which was a story that I quoted to you last. Whatever God pleases, whatever He wills, I am absolutely pleased. Pleased, being pleased, is an internal feeling. It's an internal feeling. We don't directly control our feelings. We don't have direct control of that. Right now, at my status, something harsh happens to me. I have a car that's sitting out there. Someone comes, just bangs into it, and just destroys it. And I'm just watching it, especially. It's not a feeling that I can control. It's going to come, and I dislike that. And then I'm going to have to calm myself down if I'm really a believer. Calm myself down for a second. Don't get angry. Maybe it was a mistake on behalf of that person, but regardless, that was God's property. He had given it to me. Now He's taken it away from me. Why are you impatient? Why are you upset? There's nothing to be upset about. I have to talk myself through it so that my feelings change towards the event. But at first it comes. What this is talking about is beyond that. A lot of times we think that we've reached it. This is a mistake that we a lot of times make. And the teachers of spirituality have told us. Because we don't feel what's up there, we shouldn't deny what's up there. We try to interpret spirituality based on our own limited experience, and we think that's it. No. Way beyond what we could imagine. God has got to give us a little bit more so we can feel that. This is not that. This is on the day of Karbala, the Imam at that point, Hussein is saying, Ilahi, ridan bi-qada'ik, he says, Ilahi, ridan bi-qada'ik, tasliman bi-amrik. Internally, they say the Imam, the closer it got to his shahada, he was more bright in his face. This is not going to be easy physically. This not just physically, knowing their family, the women are out there, the children are out there, and he knows what's going to happen to them once he leaves. And when it gets closer, there's no feeling at all. There's absolutely no feeling of hardship. This is what he's talking about. For having this, then he says, the way it is with you is that if I reach a status that I have a little of it, a little hik, there is a reward for this. مِن مَنْعِ الْبَاخِرِينَ وَمَنْدُوحَةً عَمَّا فِي يَدِ الْمُسْتَقِينَ. Then, you know what? You start feeling needless. I don't care if they give or they don't give. I'm not worried about that anymore. We are very worried about how people treat us. When I want to talk to you, I'm very worried about, are you going to like it or not? Worrying about the reaction of others instead of different ways. Are they going to pay me? They're not going to pay me. Are they going to accept me? Are they not going to accept me in the job or whatever it is? There's no the rewards of that when you're looking only at God's generosity and everything is manifestation of His. Then there's a reward, and that is, I don't care if people don't want to give me. Don't want to give me. I know you're generous. When the time is right, you're going to give me. If this guy is not going to give me, he's being stingy, somebody else is going to get done to me, give it to me. وَأَنَّ الرَّاحِلَ إِلَيْكَ قَرِيبُ الْمَسَافَةِ. Now the person who wants to travel towards you, they're قَرِيبُ الْمَسَافَةِ, they're close. It doesn't take much. We are wasting our time. It's not very difficult to look at. We are not doing what it takes. If you look at those who have reached something, they're wondering why we are committing the sins. They're not struggling with not committing the sins. They're wondering why everybody else is committing the sins. But this has a more spiritual touch to it, feeling that proximity. He's very close and very near, and bringing that into mind when we're addressing. وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَحْتَجِبُ عَنْ خَلْقِكَ إِلَّا أَن تَحْجُبَهُمُ الْأَعْمَالُ دُونَكَ. You didn't create any veils between yourself and your creation. That absolute beauty that is there, there's no veils that He has created for us. Except that, He says, that what we do, our actions become those barriers. It's what we do. If we purify it, remember we talked about that direct contact, the direct knowledge of God, and that is achieved through purification. In other words, we have done things that have moved us away. Otherwise, if we would have, as a child, been raised, and we decided when our parents told us, whoever told us, not to do wrong, we've done that from the beginning, we would have reached a stage where we would have been able to do that. It is our own actions that caused the veils. I think I'll stop it here. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan, allows us to be able to practice what He has taught us and to be able to engage in more than just that, in such du'as, to be able to understand it and achieve what we just read in the du'a. Who says Allah?
Wow.